Hey, back to our conversation in just a second. You know those nights when you just don't sleep and the next day you're dragging, exhausted, and everything feels harder? Well, that's where CBD from CB Distillery can make a real difference. But it's not just sleep. CB Distillery has solutions that work with your body to help with stress, pain, after exercise, even mood and focus. And it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. Imagine waking up rested or enjoying your day without those nagging aches and pains. That's the real win of CB Distillery Solutions. That's why over 2 million people trust CB Distillery. I absolutely love their products. And yes, it has made sleeping a wonderful experience. I don't worry. I don't stress. I'm like, am I going to get a good night's sleep? Because when I use their products, I do. So if you're ready for better sleep, less stress, and feeling good in your own skin again, try CBD from CB Distillery. And right now, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and use promo code GHOST. That's cbdistillery.com, promo code GHOST. cbdistillery.com, promo code GHOST. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. Now back to our conversation.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some houses don't just hold memories. They collect them, layer after layer, year after year, until the air itself remembers. For 16-year-old Emily, that house has been her entire life. She's lived there since she was a baby. The same creaking stairs, the same faded wallpaper, the same long hallway that never seems quite empty. To outsiders, it's just an old suburban home, the kind that's been passed down through families for generations. But to her, it's alive in ways that can't be explained. Her earliest memory of the strange begins at 5 years old. She had her own room then. A cramped little space at the back of the house, dimly lit, always smelling faintly of dust and old carpet. It should have been comforting, but even at that age, something about that room felt too full, like the air was already occupied. One rainy afternoon, Emily sat on her bed with her brother trying to play Monopoly. He got bored, abandoned the half-finished game, and ran downstairs. She stayed, idly moving the little silver dog around the board. Then, without warning, the dice rolled themselves. She froze. The dice clattered across the board. Money slid from the bank. A token jumped 3 spaces. No one else was there. For a moment, she just stared. Then, in that innocent logic only children have, she decided it was fine. Maybe it was a game. Maybe she wasn't alone, but whoever was playing wasn't mean. So she laughed and kept going, chatting into the air as if an invisible playmate sat across from her. Later, when she told her mother about her imaginary friend, her mom brushed it off. "You used to stay up all night talking to yourself," she said years later. "We could hear you laughing and carrying on in there." Emily doesn't remember those nights clearly, only the soft murmur of voices in the dark, hers and something else answering back. By the time she was 8, she'd moved into the biggest bedroom, the one she shared with her older sister. Bigger didn't mean better. The moment she switched rooms, the energy shifted. The room had a faint green glow at night, not from the streetlights, not from electronics. Just an unexplainable haze that clung to the walls. When her sister was downstairs watching TV and Emily was alone in bed, that glow would pulse faintly, as if breathing. And then came the noises, scratching, whispering. Always from the wall her bed was against, close enough that she could feel the vibration through the plaster. Sometimes it sounded like voices trying to form words too soft to understand, but too human to dismiss. Every night around the same time, the wardrobe door would tremble, not swing open, just shake violently. Like someone on the other side was trying to force their way out. The sound would last 10 seconds, stop, then nothing. Her sister saw it too. The first time, She screamed and refused to sleep on that side of the room again. Eventually, they both started pretending not to notice. But every morning, without fail, the stuffed animals and porcelain dolls her sister kept on top of the wardrobe would be scattered across the floor. It wasn't just the bedrooms. The house itself had moods. One bright summer afternoon when she was about 9, her mother was out shopping. Her father and brother were in the backyard fixing a fence, and Emily stayed inside with one of her sisters, watching cartoons in the living room. At some point, she went upstairs to use the bathroom. She remembered clearly the window was closed. She washed her hands, came back down, rejoined her sister. A few minutes later, her dad burst through the back door, holding her brother's TV remote in his hand, his face pale. "Why'd you throw this?" he demanded. She blinked. "What?" "It came flying out of the bathroom window," he said. "Almost hit us, but the window had been shut." She swore she hadn't touched it. When she went up later, the window stood wide open, curtain fluttering in the breeze. No one else had been upstairs. Her father muttered something about drafts, but Emily could tell he didn't believe it either. There were other moments, brief flashes that never left her. At 5, waking in the middle of the night and padding downstairs because she couldn't sleep. Her parents' bed was in the living room then, and her father was still awake. They talked for a bit. She remembers that part clearly. Then she went back upstairs to bed. Except when she reached her room, she froze. Because she was already there. Her small body lay tucked beneath the covers, breathing evenly, one arm thrown across the pillow. She remembers standing in the doorway, heart pounding so hard she thought it might wake the other version of her. She didn't scream. She just ran into her sister's bed, pulling the blanket over her head, until sleep or something like it finally claimed her. The next morning, she woke up in her own bed, right where she'd seen her body lying. When she told her father, he insisted she'd dreamed the whole thing. He said she'd never come downstairs. But Emily remembered the warmth of his hand on hers. She remembered the conversation. She remembered seeing herself. Years passed. The strange things never stopped. They just changed shape. When she was 15, the house felt emptier than ever. Her sisters had moved out. Her brother was usually away. And her parents worked late shifts. Most nights, she was alone. One evening, she invited a friend over. They went out for a bit, came back to the house, locked the door behind them. Everything was exactly as she'd left it. She told her friend to start a movie downstairs while she ran up to change. On her bed sat a puzzle book she hadn't touched in weeks. It had been on her desk that morning. Now it lay open, every puzzle filled in, every page covered in neat, unfamiliar handwriting. A pen rested across it as if whoever had finished the work had just stepped out of the room. She asked her family later if anyone had been home. No one had. As she stood staring at the book, trying to make sense of it, she heard her friend scream from downstairs. Emily bolted down the stairs two at a time, but when she reached the living room, her friend was calm, sitting on the couch, eyes fixed on the TV. "Why'd you scream?" Emily asked. Her friend looked at her, confused. "I didn't." But Emily had heard it. Sharp, loud, real. The kind of sound that cuts through bone. She didn't sleep much that night. As Emily grew older, the house seemed to grow with her, its silence heavier, its shadows longer. As if every birthday she celebrated added another layer of memory to the walls. She'd learned to ignore most of it. The strange noises, the occasional whispers, the sense that someone was standing right behind her. When she brushed her teeth at night, all of it had become background noise. But then one night, the house reminded her that it wasn't something you could just tune out. It started with her mother. It was late, somewhere around 3 a.m. Emily's mother woke suddenly, the kind of half-conscious stirring that comes when something unseen brushes against your awareness. She got up, padding softly down the hall to the bathroom. The floorboards creaked beneath her feet the way they always did. She did what she needed to do, then turned to head back toward her room. That's when she heard it. A voice, soft, close, almost playful. "Hello," it said, followed by laughter, a quick burst, high-pitched and childlike. Her mother stopped in her tracks, her heart kicking hard against her ribs. She listened. The house, was quiet again. Maybe it was the TV in Emily's room, she thought. Maybe her daughter had fallen asleep with it on. So she went back to bed. The next morning, she mentioned it casually over breakfast. You left your television on last night. It was talking, she teased. Emily frowned. My TV was off. They looked at each other across the kitchen table, the same realization dawning in both their minds. There was no explanation that didn't make your stomach turn. Still, they didn't talk about it again. Not that day, not for weeks. Until it happened again. One night, Emily woke to the sound of a heavy thud against her bedroom door. It was so loud it rattled the frame. For a moment, she froze, clutching her blanket, waiting for another knock. When nothing came, she forced herself to get up. Mom, she called, opening the door. The hallway was empty. The dim light from the bathroom nightlight stretched across the carpet, soft and harmless. She crossed the hall to her mother's room. Her mother was still asleep, breathing evenly. That's when Emily heard it, a faint, sweet little voice. Hello, it said. And then came the laughter. Not one laugh, but many. Dozens of tiny voices giggling, echoing down the hallway like a memory of a schoolyard. Emily ran back to her room, slammed the door, and dove under the covers, heart thudding so hard she could feel it in her throat. She didn't sleep again until morning. From that night on, she made a habit of going to the bathroom before bed. She refused to step into the hallway after dark. As the weeks went on, the house seemed to settle into a new rhythm. Days were normal, even peaceful. But the nights, especially the hours between 2 and 4 in the morning, belonged to something else. Objects would move. Lights flickered without pattern. The air would thicken like humidity before a storm. Sometimes she'd wake to find her puzzle book, the same one she'd found completed by invisible hands, moved again. Now open to new pages, new handwriting, new puzzles finished. Other times she'd hear the faint rustle of something brushing against the floorboards outside her door, as though small feet were running up and down the hall. Her mother started noticing things too. Furniture slightly out of place, silverware rattling in the drawers, the radio in the kitchen turning on by itself always to the same station, a classical one, the kind with soft piano music that made the silence worse. Emily's father brushed it off when he was home, chalking it up to bad wiring, settling wood, a house too old for comfort. But he worked nights, and most of the time, it was just the two of them, mother and daughter, trapped together in a place that had stopped pretending to be normal. Sometimes Emily wondered if she'd imagined it all. Maybe she'd built it out of childhood stories and restless sleep. Maybe she'd inherited her mother's nerves. But then there were the nights when she'd catch something real, something undeniable. Like the sound of her name whispered softly into her ear as she was drifting off. Or the way her reflection sometimes lagged half a second behind her in the mirror, her face still staring after she'd turned away. Or the dream she kept having, the one where she was standing in her old room again. The Monopoly board laid out, the silver dog waiting for her to roll the dice. Your turn, a voice would say, and when she looked up, no one was there. She always woke from that dream feeling like she'd left something unfinished. Her friends didn't like coming over anymore. They said the house made them feel weird, like someone was always standing just behind them, breathing down their neck. One friend refused to use the upstairs bathroom after seeing her reflection flicker in the mirror. Another swore she saw a shadow crouched on the stairs. But to Emily, the strangest part was how ordinary it all looked in daylight. The same hallway, the same rooms, the same sunlight spilling through the curtains. Yet by night, everything shifted. The air turned heavier, the walls seemed closer, the corners darker. It wasn't that the house changed, it was that something else woke up. One evening, her mother sat at the kitchen table with a cup of tea, her face pale and drawn. I think it likes you, she said quietly. Emily froze. What? The voices, her mother said. The laughter. It only happens when you're home. The words hung between them, heavy and impossible. Emily didn't know how to respond. She wanted to argue, to say her mother was wrong. But deep down, she knew she wasn't. whatever was in that house, it wasn't tied to the walls. It was tied to her. She thought about the invisible Monopoly player, the body she'd seen sleeping in her own bed, the puzzles finished by hands that weren't hers. Somewhere in all those moments, something had attached itself, and it wasn't letting go. The older Emily got, the harder it became to separate the house from herself. Every sound, every shadow, every strange whisper seemed to echo her mood. When she was happy, the energy stayed quiet, still. But when she was anxious, angry, or alone, the walls seemed to wake with her. It was as if the house was breathing in time with her heartbeat. She told herself it was imagination. That's what everyone always said. But imagination doesn't move things. Imagination doesn't finish puzzles. Imagination doesn't whisper your name when you're wide awake. And deep down, she knew the house had always been waiting for her to grow up, waiting for her to stop dismissing it as childhood fantasy, because now the presence was making itself known again. It began with the laughter. At first, it came softly, like a memory leaking into the present. A giggle from the hall, a snicker near the stairs, harmless, almost playful. But over the following weeks, the laughter grew closer, sharper. It began to echo under her bed, through the walls, beneath the floorboards. Then came the tapping, always three knocks, always between 2 and 3 a.m. She tried to ignore it, burying her head under her pillow, counting the seconds until it stopped. But one night, after the third set of knocks, something spoke. "Don't hide," a small voice said, high and sing-song. "We just want to play." Emily sat up, trembling. The air in her room had gone icy, her breath fogged in front of her. The wardrobe door, once the source of so many sleepless nights, began to move. It rocked gently at first, then harder, as if something was pressing from the inside. The dolls her sister had left behind started to rattle where they sat on the dresser. One toppled onto the floor, face first, cracking its porcelain cheek. Emily bolted. She ran down the hall, heart pounding so loud it drowned out the laughter that followed her. She didn't stop until she reached her mother's room. Her mom woke instantly at the sound of the door slamming open. "They're back," Emily gasped. "The voices." Her mother's face went pale. She didn't ask who or what they were. She just whispered, "Stay here." They sat together in silence for the rest of the night, listening to the soft thuds and faint laughter drifting down the hallway. Neither spoke of it again the next morning, but both of them knew they weren't imagining it. Weeks passed. The activity seemed to fade. Life returned to something resembling normal. Until the night the green light came back. Emily hadn't seen it since she was 8, since those long nights of scratching and whispers. But this time, it wasn't faint or hazy. It was alive, pulsing like veins of color spreading across her walls. She sat up, her stomach sinking. The glow seemed to crawl, gathering near the corner. By her desk, it shimmered, then deepened into shadow. And in that shadow, a shape began to form. Small, child-sized. A girl, maybe 8 or 9, with hair that hung over her face like wet string. The child stood perfectly still. Then slowly, she raised her hand and pointed. Emily followed the direction of her finger to the Monopoly board sitting under her bed, the same one she'd kept all these years. The dice were sitting in the center, and they moved. One roll, then another. The ghost of a laugh echoed from the child's hidden mouth. Emily couldn't breathe. She wanted to run, to scream, to do anything but stare. But her body felt locked in place, just like that night when she'd seen the man at the foot of her bed all those years ago. "Why?" she whispered. The girl tilted her head. And then, in that same strange sing-song voice Emily had heard before, she said, "You left before the game was over." The green light flared bright, flooding the room in a sickly glow. Emily threw her arms over her face. When she opened her eyes again, the girl was gone. The room was dark and silent, but the dice, those two little white cubes, showed double sixes. After that night, the house changed again. The laughter stopped. The tapping ceased. Even the air felt lighter. For the first time in years, Emily slept through the night But peace in a haunted house never lasts. 2 weeks later, she woke to find something pressed beneath her pillow, a piece of paper, yellowed and wrinkled like it had been hidden for decades. On it, written in a childish scrawl, were three words, "Your turn now." The Monopoly board was back on her desk, set up, waiting. Emily doesn't know what to believe anymore. Maybe the house is haunted. Maybe it's her. Maybe the energy has been feeding off her since she was five, growing stronger with her fear. Her mother refuses to talk about it. Her friends have stopped coming over entirely. The laughter hasn't returned, but sometimes late at night, she hears faint footsteps pacing in the hall. And every morning, she finds the dice in a new position. Once she thought about burning the board, she even carried it outside, struck a match, and hesitated. Because as she stood there holding that flame over the cardboard, she heard a voice behind her whisper, "If you burn it, we'll just find another game." The match slipped from her fingers. She ran inside, locked the door, and hasn't touched the board since. Now when she lies awake in the dark, she can almost hear the soft rustle of money, the clatter of dice against wood. And every so often, just as she's drifting off, a voice, young, cheerful, patient, whispers from the corner of her room, "Don't quit this time, Emily. It's still your turn." Some hauntings linger in places and others follow people. But the worst ones, they play games that never end.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.